Greetings is the automatically deleted husband, and the light thing first. Right now, in as we've been described, in light pencil, Big Frog is on for maybe Sunday, you know? But again, light pencil, because it looks like it's going to be a warm day, unusually warm, which is good. Weather seems to be clear and so forth. So we were hoping to do it by the end of the year, and that'd make it. We'll see. I don't know if Chris Petrella will be a part of that. But so we're still on, hopefully. A second thing, not quite light, but you may recall about a decade ago, a tornado started in Alabama and so forth, but came into Cleveland and impacted a number of people. You know, we didn't really, you know, we knew it was near us. I came, I think, within like a mile or two of us, but, you know, we had no impact. Obviously, it was with Jack and was it George also? The three of us went and we tried to go find places where we could be of help. I think it was the three of us, if I recall correctly, but been a while. But my recollection is vague. I was going to plan to email him today. You may recall James Grayling in Alabama had some, I believe it was friends perhaps at the church or whatever, where it was a family that it came to their house. And the dad put his family in a bathtub, placed himself on top to protect his family. And my recollection is it did hit the house. His kids were fine and it killed him. But that's my recollection. I just saw a video which I found a remarkable encouragement. And I don't know, because I just got it today, and I don't know when it actually occurred, whether it occurred the day or the day after the tornado in Kentucky. Pulling two kids out of a bathtub. Apparently it was a grandmother that put him in the bathtub. And I don't know about the I don't know any details, but it reminded me of that. Pulled them out alive, they're fine. 3-month-old and 15-month-old, so quite young. But again, I have, you know, there was so much I have seen from that hurricane. Again, the one gentleman who talked about houses and cars can be replaced, not people. I had a lot of respect for that man. Obviously, my family doesn't believe that because they discard me, but that's another issue. But the other thing is, continue to, again, when I was studying to make the argument that the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud, before I could really proclaim that, I had to make sure I was right. And so I studied the obvious issues. You know, the easy things were like the tithe and whatnot was easy to do. The misuse of the word, of the words, both the ecclesia and synagogue, where we get church and synagogue. You can see the misuse fairly easy on that. And we have the direct evidence from King James that shows at least at minimum some political pressure. But the other aspect is the, one of the other aspects is the so-called offices, the office of elder and the office of overseer or bishop. Another easy one to throw away was, you know, related to the bishop is obviously Jesus saying, upon this rock I'll build my church, and Roman Catholics say, well, that makes Peter the first pope. Now, that's silly because, again, the important thing to understand is what they do is the play on words, Petra and Petros, or however it is, rock and Peter, the similarity of the words. But upon this rock, you know, The stone the builders rejected became the cornerstone. The rock is Christ. But that's, you know, anyway. But the you know, it was fairly easy because you look at elder, presbyteros, you can see it simply means older. It really that all that it is. That was fairly easy. The episkopos was a little bit more difficult, but it didn't take all that long to say, okay, you see the inconsistencies, especially how it's massaging of the words. You know, well, one of the big clues was in, I have this trouble with being short and concise, don't I? The Titus 1:5, this is why I left you in Crete, that you might put what remain in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And, you know, that's where I say, oh, see, appoint the office of elder. No, appoint older men to do the duty. And what is the duty? If anyone's above reproach, husband and wife, his children are believers, not open to charge of debauchery or insubordination. I'm reading the ESV. So this is kind of a qualification. Then, for an overseer is God's steward, must be above reproach, and so forth. And say, well, okay, is this the office? No. An overseer. Again, this is the episkopos. The idea of put what remains in order, the elders, I think this is correct. I have to double check. This is where it's an adjective. It's not the noun. It's not the subject, in the sentence. So it's not appointing elders. It's appointing people in every town to do the duty. But anyway, I'm going to stumble my words here. But the other one is, this is where I'll contend, the ESV has got it wrong. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. For an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, and so forth. See, and one of the big concerns, I've said it to many, I even actually said it today, I am concerned because I am not trying to sit and judge over the Bible. I am trying to validate the translations. If the translations are, because of what's politically correct or whatever, leading me in the wrong direction or leading others in the wrong direction, it needs to be pointed out. Because, you know, this is clear. I remember, again, about 10 years ago, when we were at Covenant Presbyterian, we went to a Sunday evening service, and the gentleman, he read from the latest version of the NIV, which had been feminized. And it was kind of like, oh, wow. And because, you know, so much of the original language is clear. Just like in English, we have masculine, feminine, and neuter. Greek is the same way. So if I take a masculine word and translate it to neuter in English, I'm not doing a good translation. Again, I think the easy test is if I take a word in Greek, translate it to English, and then translate it back to Greek. And if I get up a different word, I didn't do a good job of translating. And which is what I'll contend is what happens when you use church as the translation. Because you take ecclesia, translate it to church, you go back and you get something like Sanhedrin or whatnot when you use the primary definitions in English. Because primary definitions of church is the institution and the building. People is the third, which is what ecclesia is. It's people. But anyway. But, you know, this is because I've had trouble on my pronunciation of Greek. You know, the Greek is not my native tongue. C is, or assembler. But anyway, that's silliness. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, First thing, the word office is not there in the Greek. It's simply not there. The LSV is anyone who longs for overseership. Why is it overseership? Because this is an adjective. It is not the noun. Because anyone longs for overseership, he desires a right work. The work is the subject of the sentence, not the overseership. That's the adjective. It because this is the episcopae versus episkopos. Episcopae is the adjective. Episkopos is the noun. It is therefore required for the overseer to be blameless, husband and one wife, and so forth. But what is episkopos? Epi over skopos, to be again the skeptic or to visit issues, visit people, to dig into. You check a Greek dictionary, you'll find those the various terms there, because I would suggest you see again the consistency about visiting issues and people, because you know it's the day of your visitation and whatnot that we see, you know, that is the episkeptomai. Various words like that, the really difficult one is the James 1:27. True religion or true worship is, I think, let me just check that real quick. In the LSV, okay, it's religion pure and undefiled with God the Father exists, to look after orphans and widows in their tribulation and keep oneself unspotted from the world. To look after. That's the episkeptomai. To actually visit. ESV is to visit orphans and widows. So, you know, and I think, you know, the advantage of the look after, or to look after orphans and widows, is because the idea is to visit issues and people. So when you look after someone, you're there, and you're also checking into things to make sure things they're not going astray. So that part is consistent, and I think you'll see this throughout the way the various versions of episkopos and the various forms is used. But again, episkopos is epi and skopos. Skopos by itself is the idea of being the watchman that we see in Ezekiel. And that is the word that's used there. So, looked into that a little bit more today, because it's almost identical, Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33. It's almost identical about what the role of the watchman. Because Ezekiel... Ezekiel 33, son of man, speak to the people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon the land with the people and so forth. So we're talking about protecting people from the sword, I want to be protected from the sword. But Ezekiel 3, and I'll read it also, the LSV for consistency. Son of man, I made you a watchman of the house of Israel. Whenever you hear the word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning or speak to the wicked about the wicked way in order to save his life, the wicked will perish in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. So 33 is talking about when the sword comes. 3 is talking about warn people about their sin. And it's interesting that 33 later goes back to the idea of warning people about their sin. And this was discussed, and I'm just trying to study this all the more because I want to understand what's going on here. Because it seems consistent. Because again, the watchman here is the skopos. And what is the job of the episkopos? The episkopos. What is the job of the overseer? To visit issues and people is what I said. Visit issues and people. Visit, and in this case, what you're doing is protecting people from the sword and from sin. So I'm trying to grapple with this, to see the relationships and to see how the Ezekiel usage there applies in the New Testament, in the Titus, the Timothy, and the James passages, especially. So it's an interesting struggle. I don't have a definitive answer. Yeah, I'll say that right now. But I can see there's a relationship, and I want to understand what the relationships are. And see, my objective here is twofold. One, I want to understand the Lord all the better. I'm not trying to just get more firm in the club. I want to understand my Creator and what His commands are, and you know, the fundamental command that He gives to His creation is to love Him and love our neighbor. And so understanding Him all the more in His commands will give me a better understanding of what it is for me to love well. Because, again, you know, that's kind of important. But one of the comments I made yesterday was, you know, because part of the issue is, you know, there's so many things happening in the world. And obviously the thing I spend most of my time on is communication security, because propaganda is a serious problem. But one of the places where propaganda is at the forefront right now, obviously, is with that dreaded virus that last year killed basically no one. As I pointed out, because when you look at the evidence, and you can see the evidence for this year, it's not the virus that's killing people, it's the reaction to it. It's killing people in large numbers. And especially the vaccine, because of the microclots. The microclots may indeed, I think this is still obviously, a lot of people are researching this, but my guess is, from what I hear, the number one aspect, my guess, the number one aspect of the vaccine is the microclots that I've described. And, you know, the big deal is the vaccine's effectiveness on preventing somebody getting sick, allegedly, wears after months. That's why there's this booster idea. And when you do the booster, what you're doing is you're putting in more stuff to increase the amount of microclots you have within you. Because again, they're permanent. So if you can get people boosting enough, you can do a pretty large amount of genocide. And I made the comment, if I was in the position where someone was coming after one of my kids with needle in hand, and I was there, I would do whatever I can, including getting physical, to stop that. Because that is an act of murder. Again, it's not the immediate murder. Well, you know, except for examples like the, you know, the Tiffany Dover example, which still is kind of hide under the you know, which happened right here in Chattanooga, where, you know, she took the virus, passed out, and said, well, yeah, because I have this problem, but she hasn't been seen for almost 2 years now. 2 years? Is it two? Oh, it's been a year. It's been a year. Just vanished. And of course, there are several ancestry type sites that show her as dead, and her husband on social media shows himself as single. So, you know, the veracity of all this, I'm not sure, but the fact that, you know, because I did, that there was the one gentleman I asked, David Toulis, about this, and he said, yes, if could afford to get somebody to go there and check this. Well, somebody did show up, one of these bloggers that travels, and he went to the hospital and asked him directly, and they gave him a runaround. You know, because it's been easily demonstrated. There was a photo taken of the staff after this event. Somebody wearing Tiffany Dover's badge, and it clearly wasn't her. That was deception. But you know, I don't know about what's happened with that. There's a website, I think, Where is Tiffany Dover, or something of that nature, .com or whatever. But anyway, and the issue is, you can get caught up in a sensational event, which may or may not be true. But look at the evidence. The number of people, like I say, medical community is refusing to do the D-dimer test because it's going to show the microclots. It's the belittling of the ivermectin because it apparently works quite effectively, but it's too cheap. One of the big causes, again, the three big things, I couldn't think of the third one, is being old. being obese, being old, and being deficient on vitamin D. Vitamin D is too cheap. It doesn't promote the medical community. And if you want to make billions, no. Get the vaccine. And especially when you can convince the government to pay for it. Remember, that's why I did the Brought to You by Pfizer video on one of my... Because, again, they own the news media. You know, it's interesting. BlackRock and what's the other one? BlackRock and the other, you know, the three major corporations, which in turn own other corporations. BlackRock, I think, is the biggest, you know, a multi-trillion-dollar organization. And one of the things that they are heavily invested in is Pfizer and Moderna, Purdue, and I think Purdue, but various other pharmaceutical companies. They're also heavily invested in CNN, Fox News, and all the, well, Time Warner, or who are the parents these weeks of these companies, owned by the same corporation. So you think, oh, we got the liberal and the conservative. No, it's the same parent, same owners. But they feed each other. Why would you know, CNN and Fox News be supportive and promote things that are encouraging the vaccine? Because that is where the bulk of their advertising comes from. And, you know, Pfizer is not going to advertise if they don't get good PR. It's just like Bill Gates. The reason he was making so much press coverage, he was buying it. He was simply buying it. Why does he have so much influence with the World Health Organization? Because he's the largest contributor. he owns it, basically. Money buys power. And then, of course, when companies like BlackRock own these companies, yeah, it's you do this and do this because this way you feed each other and we make a lot of money. If that your objective is money, great. If your objective is power, same thing. If your objective is genocide, same thing. It all works hand in hand. Because you can get the people who say, I want the big bucks. I don't know about or care about these other things. I want the big bucks. So if there's the big bucks to give you, they'll give you the big bucks. And you do what they say. And if somebody goes against that, again, take the obvious example. If somebody says, you know, I have a problem here. I worked for this company for a year and produced zero. You paid me six figures and I produced zero. What happened is we're stealing money, in this case from the taxpayer. And what do? They fire you. I know this well. Because again, the most blatant, it was Westar. But it happened with the other medical company in Birmingham, actually two of them. And again, you know, medical companies, defense contractors and whatnot, the objective there See, the software people in these companies, the objective is not to do a good job. The objective is to bloat. Because you need to be able to say that we have a huge staff, so we need a lot of money, therefore we can hide the fact. We're a big organization because we have all these people working for us. And what it does is it hides so many things. And it also takes people who would otherwise potentially do good on their own or in a small enterprise and gets them out of there, destroys the small players. You know, all these things work hand in hand. Anyway, but the whole point is I'm trying to understand the watchman, the overseer, and how it applies today. Because, well, as I pointed out, just a moment ago, from the Titus 1:5, that is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as directed you. If anyone is above reproach, husband and wife, children of believers, not open to charge of debauchery or insubordination for an overseer. It's that passage. What is happening here? Is he setting up an institution? No. No, he's not. Put what remain in order. I think the LV says it. You may arrange things lacking and may set elders down in every city as I appointed you. It is the idea of you need to get people who are elders, meet these qualifications, to do the duty of an elder. Do the duty of an overseer. What is the duty? To visit issues and visit people. It's not to collect with other overseers in a backroom meeting. It is not for you to have an office and have people come to you. It's for you to go to people, for you to engage yourself in other people's lives. That's what an overseer does, because to do that requires an act of love. And you need to be able to engage people, to be able to converse, to do things through words. What would through words be? Through dia, words, or speaking, lego, dialogue. Amazing how this stuff works. We're called to engage in dialogue, which is not monologue. Dialogue is through words. You have to be able to speak and listen. Because when you're engaging somebody, if they are saying, oh, he's saying this when you're saying that, you have to listen to understand. And you have to make sure you don't take the title, especially in your mind, that you're the teacher. Again, Christ says very specifically, call no one teacher, including yourself. You're called to teach. But if you think you're the teacher, you're a fool, because you're not listening to the teacher, the one and only Christ. He says it directly. So you teach, but don't be called a teacher. You oversee, but you don't have an office of overseer. The objective here is to encourage or love. Again, it's the to encourage, to call near. Parakaleo. It's the Bible has this magnificent aspect. Before I understood and can contend in it to the degree I can now, I said it, I described it before. The Bible is a love letter. Absolutely it is. It's a love letter. The Creator who stepped into His creation gave us this so we could know Him and know Him well. And know how to love him and our neighbor, because he gives it right there. And I want to encourage my family, and I still don't know how, but I'm going to try, and I'm going to try to do this in under 10 minutes. I missed, didn't I? My kids, I love you. My lady, my wife, the woman I have committed my life to, who committed her life to me. I remain steadfast on that. I am, dare I say, and I'll show it again, I'm keeping the promise. And, you know, again, speaking about the fallacy of the institution, remember, kozlowska.org/he begged us. That's showing either love or the lack thereof. My lady, I love you.